direct from the Los Angeles Underground. It's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear hole.
Say it like you mean it.
It's like honey in your ear hole.
There you
like
go.
Honey in your ear
there
hole.
There you go.
Take three.
That was not good.
My wife has never seen The Outsiders. We watched it last night. And I said, what's your initial impression? And she said, acting! Because everybody was so like, do it for Johnny, man. Do it for Johnny.
She'd never seen The Outsiders?
She'd never seen The Outsiders.
Oh, The Outsiders. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, God. Ponyboy?
Ponyboy. Stay gold, Ponyboy.
Stay golden, Ponyboy.
John, where do you fall on that movie?
Oh, I like it.
Because it's right in it's right in that.
No, it's Coppola.
I fucking hate it.
Do you really?
Yeah, it takes place in the exact era I hate. I hated
which is what? Oh, 50s.
Or the 50s, yeah.
No, it's 65 because they have a Mustang. There's
yeah,
Mustangs
but it's the whole greaser mm-hmm. genre.
And you get to hear, G-L-O-R-I-A, glow.
No.
I hate little kids, man. I hate them.
The one God. I like better is Rumblefish.
Yeah, nobody ever talks about that movie.
No, and that's, you know, it's funny. People think Coppola's career ended with Apocalypse Now. He kept on doing movies, and Rumblefish is really good.
It's due for Johnny. Johnny for killed Johnny. A Soch, man.
For Johnny.
There are people that love that book. I never read the book. There are people that just love it. You know, everybody walked around with a copy of that. It was like The Hobbit.
Is that true?
Everybody was walking around. Yeah,
well, we
when
read
I was
it
in
high school.
Yeah. It was Outsiders or The Hobbit. One of those was under your arm if you were in high school.
For those of you who don't know, the kids are back this week. John and I were talking like old people last week. It was great.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Baby boomers and Gen X joining forces finally.
I remember when he asked you, well, 20 miles just to get over to the pool every day.
That's pretty funny for someone that didn't listen to the podcast.
Touch
now,
I didn't need to. I got the gist.
Damn.
I got the gist of it.
Up top. That was solid.
I make myself laugh.
If they ever do a reboot of The Real McCoys, I'm telling you, Jake's got a solid in.
Of with Walter Brennan?
Yeah, when they go,
do you want teeth in or teeth out?
Exactly. That's what he would say when they hire him. You want the teeth in or you want the teeth out?
Mm-hmm. And they would just slam the table, you hire
The Real McCoys. They said, give me a young Walter Brennan.
What's your favorite Walter Brennan movie?
Oh, hell.
Bad Day at Black Rock?
I mean, he's great in To Have and Have Not.
Oh, yeah.
He's great in...
Have you seen a movie of him, teeth in?
Yeah.
Please stop describing it that
bad
way.
Bad Day at Black Rock.
That's
Bad Day at Black Rock. He was the doctor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was the doctor in Bad Day at Black Rock.
Have I seen him with his teeth in?
Teeth out was definitely Rio Bravo.
God.
Well, ding it. Ding, nib it.
Ding, nib it.
Was you ever killed? Was you ever stung by a dead bee?
Whole career. You know, the worst we didn't cover it in the Digital Movie Club, but My Darling Clementine, which is basically the 1940s version of Tombstone, he plays a real bastard.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Ike Clanton.
Yeah.
Or Pa Clanton.
Yeah.
He can really play a son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in that one, he's beating up his own sons, mm-hmm. you know?
When you pull a gun, kill a man.
Yeah.
What he says.
He is cold-blooded in that.
Yeah, he
so
shoots.
That's acting. When you can play like the comic relief and then one movie later you're playing a bastard, you know.
Just like Ralph Macchio in Outsiders. One day he's the frightened Johnny, the next day he's
the
frightened
karate
kid.
Yeah, exactly. What right. range? He's got range from A to B.
Mm-hmm. And then My Cousin Vinny.
I think somebody said that about Clint Eastwood. Somebody was knocking Clint Eastwood years ago when he was doing the Dirty Harry movies. And they said he's got an incredible range. He wins all the... He runs all the emotions from A to B.
Don't say that in front of...
It's better than some actors nowadays.
I refuse to watch... I saw he has a movie with a chimpanzee, I think, and I refuse to watch that.
Two huge movies.
I refuse not to. I
huge
saw it and I was
movie.
Like... Mm-mm.
Those were huge in the 70s.
But his hair also looks silly, so I refuse to
Every
watch
which
that.
Way but loose and every which way you can.
And what was the guy... The ape's name was Clyde.
Clyde, yeah.
Yeah.
He would do the thing.
You'd do the thing.
He'd bang, and then Clyde would fall.
Well, because I'm slowly going through his little archive that they have.
His little?
It's more
he's
like
got like 80
like
movies. Yeah, it's like
well,
80.
I'm still in early, because I saw Kill 'Em High, and I was watching.
Hang 'Em High.
Or Hang 'Em High, and I was watching, like, I was kind of going through that. And I saw those. I'm not.
What did you
that.
Think of Hang 'Em High?
It was good.
Hang 'Em High is interesting, because it's the attempt to make.
That's
like
his movie, right?
Yeah, it's his attempt to make like a spaghetti western in the United States.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I liked it.
Yeah, I think it's the first movie made when he got back.
Yeah. You can see he picked up a lot of tricks from Leone, too. Like,
It like, kind of felt like, oh, it's just a continuation of what he was doing.
I like it, though.
Have you seen High Plains Drifter yet?
No, I saw it's on there, though.
That is a mind blower.
It is a good one, except there is one very difficult scene in the beginning. And they never really, you think it's something's going to, you're just like, oh, well, that's just the character. But if you know the story and you know what he's supposed to be, it makes sense.
Right, stick with it, because you'll see how completely wronged he was. But that's a good one.
Yeah,
High Plains Drifter. Where people start going, wow, he might end up being a great director.
Yeah. You know? Outlaw Josie Wales we're going to do, and that is a good one.
Yeah. I did, I finished watching Kelly's Heroes a few weeks
ago.
Did
you love it?
Yeah, there's a lot of stars, and that's a long movie.
Yeah. By the way, all the Death Wish movies are on Amazon right now, Amazon Prime. All of them.
You know, you only have to... You only have to watch the first one.
She just wants Bronson.
Yeah.
All right. Because he did a lot of bad movies. You know what it's like? The Death Wish movies are like the Rocky movies. The first one is a real movie. And then they just sort of crank them out like comic books. You know?
Yeah. Planet of the Apes.
Hey, by the way.
Hey, whoa.
First of all, before we get into this week's Digital Movie Club.
Somebody had to say it.
I thought you loved Conquest.
I do.
Okay, there you go.
You better love Battle.
And that's number three.
All right, let's talk about it, Justine. You missed the last Digital Movie Club.
Yeah.
But we really wanted to get your opinion. We did Paper Mood.
Yes.
We did Westworld.
Yes.
And we did The Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3. So do you want to give us your scores for each of those? Because we missed out last time.
Yeah.
Go.
Paper Moon, 10.
Yeah! Yeah!
Wow.
Taking of Penaluma. Pelham. 1, 2, 3.
Penaluma.
Huh?
Penaluma, right? 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
I give that one a 10.
Wow!
For what it showed, I would not expect during that time that they would do that. It's just, it was crazy.
It's a great movie.
It was fun to watch. I mean, you didn't stop watching it. It was great.
Real fun.
Another side of Walter Matthau, huh?
Well, yeah. And the very end of it, right when he sneezed, I'm like, oh, shit!
I know. That last shot.
It's like, what the?
You almost wanted to hear that Seinfeld scene.
The look on his face.
I mean, you wanted them to go down. So. It was perfect.
You do the Curb Your Enthusiasm music.
Westworld.
7.
No, not even. I feel 5. Bad for him being in that movie.
Who?
Yul Brynner?
That was a hit.
He's such a great actor.
You want your mama.
And for him to barely talk. Yeah, that
sloppy,
just made me laugh.
Sloppy there with your drink. He wants his mama.
I don't know.
But you got to remember, I mean, it's almost like you have to have seen that and not seen the new one.
I don't even compare the two at all.
No, they're very
different. They're totally different.
But he turns into the Terminator and just keeps going after him. That was kind of scary.
That's pre-Terminator. That's pre-Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
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 That was a model for a lot of movies.
In 73, that was pretty cool stuff. But, you know,
I get it.
40 years have passed.
What do you give it, a 5?
A 10.
Give it a 4.
No. 4. Yeah, it's good as Casablanca.
Yeah. It's dated. No, she gave 6 to a Casablanca.
What was 4 that was... What did she give a 4 to?
Citizen Kane.
Yeah. I do have some facts about... I already told you about it, huh?
About what?
About Paper Moon?
No, go ahead. Give them to John. John will know them.
Give me... when the girl got nominated, he struck her.
What?
He smacked her.
Ryan O'Neill?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear that.
And then the other thing was, is when they're doing the part where they're arguing back and forth in the car and she's like negotiating with him, that took 6 days and 39 tries for them to get it right.
Because they're driving.
Because they have to do it. If they kept going, they would have seen the city. So they had to drive it back all the way back and then do it again. But I read a lot of facts on that movie because I loved it.
It's great, isn't it?
Oh, and then when she talks about her tits, she didn't want it. She refused to do it. And then on the last take, he was like, just say it. So she says it. She's embarrassed. And then that's what's in the film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, she was so good.
Oh, God. I love that movie. I was trying to read so much on it.
It's a great movie.
Oh, so you watched it online?
Yep.
Okay. Because the DVD comes with all these documentaries. And it shows you how they did all the production design and how they filmed it on location. Mm-hmm. So I'll loan that to you.
I mean, I even read about him dating Farrah Fawcett and
that was a big
between
thing.
Them. Yeah,
they were a power couple.
Yeah, that was
deep into that.
Ryan O'Neill was weird because he was a huge star in the 70s, and then the 80s came along, and then he just kind of faded out.
That happened to some people, you know, because he did like Love Story was monstrous, and then What's Up, Doc, and then Paper Moon, you know, Barry Lyndon.
He was a huge star.
By the time you get to the 80s, he just never gets another hit. It seems. Yeah,
it's weird.
But yeah, if you're
what was the one he made with Streisand?
Oh, the main event? Or
yes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was like, because he'd done What's Up, Doc, so that was like a return engagement with.
But
there's all kinds of interesting facts.
It's a good movie. I love it. It's one of my favorites. John introduced it to me.
That's so great, a 10.
And it's one of my all-time favorites.
It's bulletproof.
I'm glad you love Taking a Pelham 1-2-3.
I love that one.
I'm just glad you guys all love that, because I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. It was great. It was just watching a cat and mouse kind of movie. It was great. Loved it.
And Robert Shaw's always a great villain.
Shaw.
And you get the great Walter Matthau.
I mean, and they just killed people quickly. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, I'm invested on this guy. Oh, never mind. Let's move on.
That's supposed to show you how bloodthirsty.
Yeah. He's not my friend anymore.
Who wants to know? All right. I like that guy. I like how much they swear. We talked about how much they swear.
Did you see Jerry Stiller?
Who's
Jerry Stiller?
Seinfeld's dad. Or no, George Costanza's dad.
What was he in the movie?
He was Rico, the
other cop.
The transit cop.
Yeah. He was great.
that's Ben Stiller's dad.
Yeah. And then what about
they were all really good
and then
actors.
What about Holly Golightly's agent as he was in there.
We've I all got that. Different and how about Captain Quint as the terrorist? I like when Robert Shaw said, "What is it, Oscar? Is it the killing, the kidnapping, the extortion? I'll tell you what it is. It's the killing, the kidnapping, the extortion."
Oh, what if we Jack Lemmon would have been the other guy running the railroad?
So great.
I can't believe you're negotiating with a terrorist.
Pipe down, will you?
Pipe down, will you? He's on the line. He's going to know we don't have the money. Hey, that was a pretty good math out. All right.
That was pretty good.
That's it. It'll never happen again. It was a one-time math out. Okay, so we have three new movies this week we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We're still early in the 70s. We're just, you know, we're getting to the midpoint of the
70s. We're crest in the middle.
We did the Poseidon Adventure this
Anything week. Anything pre-Jaws is interesting, because movies take a different turn after Jaws.
Well,
after Star Wars.
Jaws is coming up this week.
Yeah.
Okay. And we also had Battle of the Planet of the Apes. And...
Or is it the Dawn of the War or the Battle of the Planet of the Apes?
The Godfather Part 2, which we'll save for last, obviously.
Who here hadn't seen Godfather Part 2?
I hadn't.
Wow.
None That's going to be
cool. Who here hadn't seen Battle for the Planet of the Apes? Who here had not seen The Poseidon Adventure?
I love that listeners have no idea who said yes or no.
Yeah. They'll never know.
For those at home.
For those playing along, none of them had seen Godfather 2. None of them had seen Battle for Planet of the Apes. And Patrick had seen
Poseidon Adventure.
Poseidon Adventure. Just assume John and I have seen
For
them.
Those of you playing at home, the password is X-Men.
The password is Miles Morales. All right, let's start with the great Battle for the Planet of the Apes, which I like to call the pilot for the TV show Planet of the Apes. And one of my favorite lines, it's my predecessor's personal assistant's brother.
And McDonald, who you loved McDonald with the turtleneck. This is his brother. Did you catch that? This is McDonald's
Yeah, well, that's
brother.
What he says. It's my predecessor's personal assistant's brother.
Oh, that was the bad guy.
Yeah. Who was that guy?
He's got Severin Darden. He's got an unusual name. Severin Darden, something like that.
What else do I know him from?
Nothing that I know of.
So, Battle for
Mutant number two.
So, let's read the... Shall we look up the trailer?
I love that they give you a recap. They show you a couple clips from Escape and Conquest. And,
one of the all-time great directors, John Huston, Angelica's dad, was the lawgiver.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
He's got a very distinctive voice. If any of you have seen Chinatown or anything like that.
There we go.
Mm-mm. No.
We should watch Chinatown.
Oh, we really should.
Want guns!
Now, the final chapter in the incredible ape saga.
Ape killed ape.
There it is. Or was.
This is the hell my forefathers used to speak about.
This background radiation alone will give us 300 rentgens an hour.
The battlefield. A dead city 12 years after the ultimate bomb has been dropped. The prize, the right to inherit what's left of the Earth. The contestants, ape against man. The most unbelievable showdown ever filmed. As the mutants, strange, transformed men who live underground like moles, battle the apes to decide who will be master and who will be slain.
Who are we supposed to be rooting for?
I love that. Who exactly are we rooting for? The apes? The mutants? All those humans that are corralled in the...
We don't know.
Remember I told you guys, Planet of the Apes ends one of the great, great Rod Serling twist endings, and then at the end you get a school bus. You get three Jeeps and a school bus. That's the army.
You know, I'd always heard that the reason they didn't do like another Planet of the Apes movie is that, what's his name, Arthur P. Jacobs passed away. But I was just watching a little documentary and they said, no, this was intended to be the last one.
Oh, okay.
And the posters even said the final chapter, you know.
Let's talk about it. What did you guys love about this one? Everybody's got such long faces. Let's get that energy.
Oh my God, that makeup was amazing.
Oh my God, you're right. It looked like monkeys.
The way the mouth
At least they
moved.
Got Caesar right again.
Caesar always looks great. The chimps always look great.
And also, Roddy McDowell is always good. No matter what they put him in.
No, he was great. Like, Caesar's still
This is kind
good
of enough. I mean, as far as the all five of them go, this is definitely the least of them. But he is still great as Caesar. It's not a great script, but he does a good job under pounds of makeup, you know.
Yeah. But what's weird is the gorilla makeup of this one is terrible.
Oh, it's so bad.
Really bad. It's
as Will Ferrell says, it's not movie quality.
It's like it seems like the entire budget went to Aldo as far as the gorillas went.
Was Will Ferrell referring to his own movies?
Even his was horrible.
His was really bad. He's so shiny.
It looks like it's sprayed on. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's
but when you look at like Ape Number Three, was it's like, geez, you know what's going on?
Was
there?
What's his name? I can't remember. I shouldn't say it like that. But was the original makeup artist? Was he still doing the makeup at this point?
I think at this point he's probably overseeing it. He's got other people actually doing it. But you got to remember, the budget keeps going down. Every Planet of the Apes movie has a lesser budget than the one preceding it.
Just put some spray paint on him. It's fine.
So there's less and less. And he said, you got to the point where, you know, you've got to work miracles with a very small budget. And also the makeup always got the most of the budget. You can tell. By this time they're in a canyon shooting with school buses and motorcycles.
Yeah. And you can tell it's out in Malibu somewhere.
And when they blow up a treehouse, it's always the same treehouse.
Yeah.
Wow, didn't they just blow that up like five times? It's always the same ape treehouse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they said the makeup is always what got the gist, you know, most of the budget went to the makeup. And I don't know if he's personally putting it on like he did on the first couple movies, but he gets credit for designing it, and he's probably overseeing it, you know. He's probably doing Roddy McDowell, you know, and some of the stars. But at that point, there's just no budget.
Yeah.
So
did you love this one, guys? What did you, John? I'm looking at Patrick because he was such a huge fan of Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. So what did you think of this one?
Okay, so you had me at Planet of the Apes. You lost me at Return to Planet of the Apes.
Beneath.
The Apes. You're like, and then whatever. You lost me again at Return.
Escape.
Right? I can't even remember what the fuck it was. You had me again at Conquest. I think I gave that one like a 9 or a 10.
Yeah, you
that
loved
movie
it.
Was fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this was a horrible way to end it. This was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I could not stomach
it. It's terrible.
It was terrible to watch.
It's a bad script.
It took me 3 times to get through it.
It's not a good script. Like, I mean, and that's what Conquest won over for me so much was, you know, besides the way it's shot and everything like that, the script is fantastic.
Yeah.
And this one was just lacking across the board. Like, even Caesar's role in this movie was not that much. He was kind of like an afterthought, and you didn't really get the same feel you did from Conquest.
No, it's a little half-assed.
Yeah, it definitely feels like, oh, we're going to throw this out there, and we'll probably make, you know, our money back, and that'll be it.
You know, I saw, again, same documentary. They said the problem with Caesar in this one is they were asked to tone this down. He was kind of a revolutionary in the last one.
He was great.
And
yeah.
They asked them to tone it down because they said that we want this to be more of a kid's movie. So they said, bring it down and don't make him so revolutionary. And they said, well, what can we do?
Yeah.
You know, the director, because it was the same director on this one as the one that directed on Conquest.
It would have been a lot better.
And he said, you know, they asked us, he said, think of this as more of a kid's movie and bring it down. Make him a little more benevolent and a little less revolutionary fire starter.
No, I like that.
I mean, they killed a kid. That was, you know, crazy.
It's just a little half-baked. The odd thing is, I had never actually seen this one. Yeah, I was such a fan, but this is one I'd never actually seen this one all the way through.
Oh, really?
No, I'm watching this going, I don't think I ever saw this one.
37% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
5.5 on IMDb.
I will say the only thing that I did kind of like about this was there was some interesting characters, which was kind of nice to see. So you had the two orangutans, What's his name?
Oh, the guy that was taking care of the
singer-songwriter Paul Williams as
It started with a V and
Virgil
yeah. and Madeus.
Yeah,
those two were kind of interesting. It was interesting to see from them, and that I liked because you can tell they put a little bit of effort into that character and stuff like that.
Yeah, they had some of the better lines.
Yeah, some of the better lines in the movie, and they were more interesting and more well fleshed out.
Flesh.
Yeah, but I mean, after that, like, Aldo, horrible villain. The mutant governor is a horrible villain.
He was also, I'm looking at Severn Garden. He was in Conquest as well, but I don't remember.
He's the same guy. He's the same guy in Conquest. So he's one of the few guys that lived. Because there's a few lines where he says, this is that's that Caesar that started the fire in the complex.
Yeah, and that's that guy who, like, was his superior or something like that.
He was also in Mother Jugs and Speed, John.
Never seen that, but it's on my list because it's a Raquel Welch movie.
Yeah.
So, like Justine with Charles Bronson, I'm working my way through the entire Raquel Welch filmography.
Working my way back
but
through
Welch. But
it's
taken my entire life because she did some duds.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them.
So, I mean, out of the three movies we watched this week, and out of the Planet of the Apes movies, this is by far worst.
You liked it less than Beneath is what
yeah, which is saying a lot because I hated
this
Beneath.
Is nobody's favorite Planet of the Apes.
I hated Beneath. Like,
I'd be shocked.
Excuse me.
Beneath was bad, but even that, like, there was still.
It's
more...
anytime they have a mutant, it's ruins
yeah,
it.
It's just like, you know, I would have been fine if the humans were rebelling and they weren't all radiated and mutant.
At least Beneath was kind of interesting with like the mutant aspect and them having a big cult towards the bomb and everything.
And you've got your original characters are all coming back.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
It's more interesting than these guys who's like, oh, we don't like them. We're going to kill them.
Yeah. I just, it looked like literally they're like, okay, I'm going to put you in makeup and you're going to run towards this. And then we're going to take your makeup off and you're going to be on the other side of the field running this way.
Now, all you gorillas,
it's all the extras
change makeups. Now you're mutants.
And it
run
just
to the left.
It felt like somebody was shooting a school movie.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. Like you were standing on a ladder in a field at your high school.
This is what happens with all franchises. Eventually, by the time you get to the fifth movie, it's always a big shit sandwich. Yeah.
What do you think, Justine? What did you think of this one?
Austin Stoker is what I think about it. He's McDonald.
Oh, you know what? You're going to get to see the great Austin Stoker in another one of my favorite movies that, along with Pelham, is, I think, a forgotten gem of the 70s. We're going to see it in a couple weeks, called Assault on Precinct 13.
That's a good one.
Which is basically John Carpenter's remake of Rio Bravo. And Austin Stoker plays he's the main police officer.
Yes. Yeah, I'm down for that. He's cool. I just wish he had more parts in the movie. But
I like him. I like singer-songwriter Paul Williams as Virgil. I like singer-songwriter Paul Williams.
Okay, is that his name?
I like Caesar. There's a lot to like in this movie, but it's just so badly executed that you know, it was the same.
It's a hodgepodge.
Yeah. I just didn't feel for anyone. There's no character that I felt for.
So, you liked Austin Stoker? What did you think of the rest of the movie?
It was okay.
You don't really get enough Caesar.
I like to think that you got it as a set, and this is why
exactly
we're
this is
to
the
watch it.
This is the man with the golden gun that they make you buy when you buy. They would do this a little while ago. Remember when they were putting the bonds out, and it'd be like From Russia with Love, Goldfinger, and then you'd have to get like, and here's Diamonds Are Forever, just because you know you bought these other two, so yeah. No one's ever gonna buy this movie on its own, so we throw it in there,
bundle it together.
It's you know, it's Spy Who Loved Me.
Thank God I didn't have to. Pay
For Your
to
Eyes
watch
Only,
this
Man with the
now?
Golden Gun.
Are we done now?
Yes,
Planet
that's the
Apes?
End.
Planet
of
the Apes are done.
Woo!
I liked Conquest.
The best.
Patrick or Jake, what did you think of this one?
Ooh, no.
The best thing about this movie, I didn't have to pay for it.
Okay.
Yeah. I was very happy.
Was it on Prime?
Amazon Prime for free.
Perfect.
Like, thank God.
You're welcome.
I would have been mad if I had to pay $3 to watch that. Yeah.
I did. Well, here's the thing. I got the set on Vudu for $9. It was $10. So I figured the original one is worth $10.
Yeah.
So the other ones were all bonuses, so it's fine.
There you go.
But I got to see the first chimpanzee born in captivity.
I love that.
You gotta love that.
That's so awesome.
The saving grace of
Cardo Montalbán. He makes everything better.
Do you have Star Trek movies also that we're gonna?
Yes,
watch?
We're gonna be watching.
Oh, have you seen Wrath of Khan?
Yeah, we saw it.
We went to the theater. Remember?
That's right. Duh. I'm officially brain dead. I'm officially brain dead.
John, what did you think of Battle for the Planet of the Apes?
No, yeah, not my favorite. So, you know.
All right, let's give up. Let's not spend more time on this than we need
to.
Man,
please don't.
Let's move on.
Let's do some accounting here. What does everybody give? Let's start with Justine.
2.
All right. Patrick?
2.
Jake?
2.
John?
That's a 2. Yeah.
This was going to be my first 1.
Oh.
Wow, it's not that bad.
But.
It's your copy.
It had some saving grace.
Here's
like,
why.
The characters,
Roddy McDowell. Mm-hmm. Roddy McDowell sure. lifts it.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'll give it a 2.
Yeah, there like it's go. The characters are just interesting enough, a couple of them,
he's
that
always
it bumps
great,
it.
You know.
Speaking of Roddy McDowell.
If Caesar wasn't there, I would have been like, I wouldn't have even watched it. I'm like, no, I'm not watching this.
I would have turned it off.
No,
okay, this is how bad it was. I walked away and took a shower.
Wow.
I was just like,
and
oh,
you never
back.
Shower.
So I had it playing in the background, and I turned back. I'm like, oh, nothing's happened. Nothing's changed. I'm like, okay, cool.
I walked away and was like, Justine, did I miss anything? No. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's like you look
it.
Back 10 minutes later, and then like nothing's happening.
It's like everybody on the school bus.
It's just wow. such a stagnant movie.
Patrick,
like, what happens?
I told Patrick, it's like Game of Thrones when they push Bran off of the wall. It's hurt.
All horrible. They find the mutants. They run away. Mm-hmm. His kid dies. And they fight.
That's it.
That's yeah, it.
That's it.
And when you see that matte painting for what the city looks like after the bomb hit, you're like, wow, that's like some kid did a watercolor.
Yeah.
Something, you know, you're like,
they just set up
God,
some.
Really?
They
couldn't afford a better matte painting than that?
Let's talk about Roddy McDowell in another movie, guys. Are you ready?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Turn into it! Turn into it!
We have a radar target in the port bow.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please!
Why don't they just take your head on?
Exactly 50 seconds to midnight!
Woo! Hard left! Get up, Amini!
Oh my God.
Oh my God. And don't call me Sherman.
I just want you to know.
First thing I thought in my head.
We're all
counting on. Don't call me Sherman.
Nice Beaver.
These are the kind of movies he did before The Naked Gun.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
I know, that was so weird.
Because he used to do these kind of roles. That's what made him funny in The Naked Gun. You weren't expecting it. You know?
Airplane.
Yeah, that's a start. Yeah, Robert Stack.
Let's talk about it. The Poseidon Adventure. God, I loved this movie when I was a kid.
I know.
Shirley, you're kidding. I'm not kidding. And don't call me Shirley.
I would wait for it every...
I know.
Every time it was on TV.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait.
It was an event.
Couldn't wait.
Yeah.
Guys, yeah. Did you love it?
Who's going first?
Let's talk Justine.
Oh, shit.
It was awful.
I give it a 10.
What?
I love this
Yay!
Movie.
Yay!
It gave me so many fears of going on like a cruise right now. I'm so glad I've never seen this movie until now.
Maybe it's just, you know.
You'll never go
on
a boat
again.
Oh
my God, it was just so good. And I don't know, you're giving me so many Gene Hackman movies to watch. I have never watched that many Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman is great.
And he's always great, right?
Yeah, honestly, the only movie I knew before that was Superman.
Yeah, he's Lex Luthor.
Wow.
That was
he's
all...
even good in that.
I know, even in that, yeah.
And that's all I knew him from.
Wow.
But I looked him up. I looked up this movie.
I got news for you. When we get to Unforgiven, not only get Gene Hackman, you get Clint Eastwood. Together.
Oh, yes.
And it is great. It is everything you want it to be.
I know.
It is everything you
it's
want a, it to
it's
be.
It's the Battle of the Titans.
I think they have, one scene together?
Mm-hmm.
But it's awesome.
It's heavyweights.
This movie just has so much with their characters, and it's so sad, and I love it. I just loved it.
It really pulled you in, huh?
They killed all these people that I was like, really? 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 And it was heartbreaking when you hear all of them, struggling in the water, and he had to close the door,
There's there's no way it's gonna break. Breaks like, oh shit! Wow.
I told my wife that.
There's no way.
Gene Hackman, his character is so much better than me because I would have opened the door and been like, oh yeah, now you want help, huh? Yeah, bye, bye, bye. You know, just.
And I told Patrick, I'm like, look at him, just those muscles and just turning that thing. I just didn't. And like, honestly, this was like a diehard situation. Just he had people with him.
Yeah.
But
it's heartbreaking when he dies.
Yeah. Is it?
And as a preacher, what makes you so certain, preacher?
Yeah, you get Ernest, our friend Ernest Borgnine.
Oh, Rogo, do this.
So weird.
Yeah. Rogo, do that.
Yeah. He's finally his age. He's finally age he looked in Bad Day at Black Rock.
Yeah.
But he somehow looks worse.
I know. Even in Marty, he always looked like he was like 55.
And yeah. At the very end, it's just so heartbreaking because they go, how many there are you? Six. That's it? Yeah. Like, oh.
And you look at their faces and they're just like, yeah. They do that close up of Ernest Borgnine's all. Christ, we're the only ones that made it.
Yeah, that's it.
And they all lost somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, right to the end, you think, you know, they're all gonna, maybe a couple more of them are gonna make it.
No, the only one that doesn't lose anybody except is the sister except, and the brother.
The speedwalking dude.
She was pretty pissed off that, what's his face died.
Do you remember the last time you saw the speedwalking dude?
The single guy.
Red Buttons.
He was hanging from a church.
Yeah, Red
in,
Buttons.
In San Maraglis.
I looked up his whole story just because I thought
he was the
it was
paratrooper
cool.
In Longest Day that got stuck on the church.
Right. I was watching Red Buttons on like a show where he roasts a bunch of people. I was watching that.
Yeah, he was a comedian.
Dean Martin or something?
He was he a comedian?
He was a comedian. He had his own show in the 50s, and he was on every Dean Martin roast.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a great character, though. I loved... You know, he's always got that...
Weren't you mad at him, though? I was like, just fucking leave her. Fuck her.
Wow.
Oh,
Nani.
Carol Lindley.
Yeah.
He's been single for a very long time, okay?
Okay,
and
but
she's
I
young
love...
and fragile, so...
That's a hell of a scene. That's a hell
I thought you were
going to
say something.
I'm not going
but
without
I love
you.
How Ernest was like, get her up there. You're trying to get up there. And I was like, I know.
Mr. Rogo.
What's
Mr. Rogo.
The hold of?
My daughter made the, it was funny because I left the movie on. I started watching it. My wife had never seen it. She ended up watching it. She gave it a 7.
Uh-huh.
She said, you know, I would have never put that on.
Wow.
But I liked it. She said it was good. The characters were good.
Yeah.
She said, you know, it wasn't like super, you know, it didn't blow her away, but she's like, wow, she got invested in it.
Yeah.
Enough to, and my, it's funny because my daughter came in like halfway through and she was giving it the Mystery Science Theater.
Oh,
so for her it was,
yeah.
But she was still like, you know, she still thought it was, she appreciated it, but her thing was all like, oh, great. Look at this girl who's my only, what did she say? She goes, oh, I'm a girl and my only personality trait is I'm in love with the preacher. I'm like,
I was just shocked that they were wearing heels the whole time.
Yeah, that's what the
climbing the the ladders.
I told Patrick, I'm like, take your shoes off, lady.
Hooker with a heart of gold.
Exactly. Stella Stevens is the hooker with a heart of gold. Looking very good.
Yeah.
Blue robe.
No, I was sad when she'd fall off.
Poor Roddy McDowell.
As Acres.
I believe so, sir. I believe.
And he had the bum leg.
Yeah.
And then Ernest Borgnine jumps after him, and you're like, damn.
That's when you know Borgnine's not a bad guy. He actually does try to, you know.
Right. And then when Hackman says, I told you to watch him. Hey, now take it easy. You know? It's great because everyone's just, I mean, you really get caught up in the situation.
Yeah. It's pretty realistic.
And you get Charlie's grandfather.
Yeah, Charlie's grandfather.
I saw that. I'm like, oh my God.
I've never seen him in anything else.
You got
the reason it's so realistic is because they really are slogging through that water. There's some documentaries where they talk to the director, and none of that was digital, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really slogging through water every day. They say, man, they was just.
That
it
must
was,
be so tiring.
It was grueling because you had fires going, and you're submerging, and you're slogging through all this crazy water. And they said, it was really happening.
Oh, yeah. I had a panic watching that thing.
I love them. What I love about the movie is just the production design that they have.
Yeah.
They built these upside down sets.
It's cool.
It's
great.
It's really.
It's a good disaster movie.
Yeah.
You really buy it. See, that's the thing. Everything pretty much follows. This all the disaster movies, good or bad, they all kind of follow the Poseidon Adventure.
The Poseidon Adventure, it kind of started with Airport,
right.
Was the first one, but that wasn't really a true.
What makes that a disaster movie is you're introduced to about 12 different people, and you know that not all of them are going to make it, and you get the mad bomber, so that's sort of like the first disaster movie.
And then you get Poseidon Adventure kind of sets the bar for what we know now,
and it made so much money that everybody said, well, we got to do more. How about a building on fire? How about
Towering Inferno is, I would say, a step below. Not as good, but still pretty good. But then
a step below what?
Step below Poseidon Adventure.
Well, Towering Inferno.
Towering Inferno is a step below. Yeah.
Well, they also mentioned when I was reading Disaster Movie, it also talked about some movie called Earthquake, too. Yeah.
Which we should watch.
It's awful.
It's really bad, but
bad effects.
But it's awesome at the same time.
You got
it's
everybody.
Like a soap opera.
I get what,
and everybody's in
are
it.
Are they you shaking the camera Heston. And expecting people yes. to believe
Charlton
it?
Charlton Heston, so, Lauren Green.
It's great because it's L.A. You
Ava Gardner, yeah.
Walter Matthau's in it for like a second.
Very
I forgot about
quickly.
That.
Yeah, in the bar, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Dressed as like a 70s pimp.
It's a really bad, the effects are really bad. That shows you, this is the flip side of Poseidon Adventure.
Charlton Heston is in it though.
Yeah.
The building is about to collapse.
And then the one you really got to watch is Airport 75 because it's Charlton Heston again with Karen Black. And that's the one with the famous line, the stewardess is flying the airplane.
Oh, that's right. Then you have the one on the Concorde. They made a million of those airports.
There's one where it goes underwater. That one's got Jack Lemmon and Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah,
where it goes underwater.
Yeah, the plane crashes in the water.
Yeah, they're submerged and they've got a. Oh, it's just insane.
We watched a lot of these in the 70s.
They cranked them out. This was like the superhero movies are now. Every week there was another disaster movie.
The Swarm. What about
the one
with all the
killer
bees? The killer bees.
Anyway,
I'm sorry.
I just hope that all ships have it where it's only 1 inch. At the bottom of the ship.
I love that. I love that's Eric Shea. Excuse me, sir. This is the thinnest part in the entire ship.
Fuck you, kid. Yeah, I'm right, you dick.
I am so terrified of ships right now.
Borgnine goes, what makes you so sure, kid? Well, I was hanging out with the, they set it up. He's this kid that wants to know everything about the ship. Yeah. You know?
But I love how he starts to believe in the kid at the end.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's the characters are all good.
Yes.
They're all believable. Mm-hmm. They're likable. Even when they're not likable, you're not rooting for anyone to die.
No.
There's no villain, which is what I like about it.
What it is like if you're in a situation like that, there are people that are going to rise to the occasion and people that don't. And this really shows you. Not everybody's going to be a hero.
Yeah.
Other people are going to find this amazing place in themselves to say, I'm going to put myself ahead of everybody else. You know.
Yeah, it's great.
Like when Shelley Winters wants to, she goes, please let me do something. You've been schlepping me along the whole time. This I can do. I can swim. I love that. She's all, see this? She's wearing the medal. See this? I won for underwater swimming. You know.
That's such a...
Gene Hackman, when he goes, not this one. Oh, please, God, not this one.
My poor Belle. Belle! She's so good in that too.
Yeah, she is.
She's so good.
She really is.
I love it.
And then when he doesn't want to come, he says, "I'm just going to stay with her." And he goes, "No, you know, life. You got your grandchildren to think of. Life is for the living."
Yeah. Jake, what did you think, man?
Thought it was great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just you never really know what's going to happen when you're watching the movie.
You really don't, and they keep you guessing as to who's going to die.
You really don't know. Yeah.
Because, you think the old lady, I can't make it keep moving on. So, oh, God, she's going to stay behind.
If anyone's going to die, it's going to be the old man, because then you're not going to kill the lady off.
Mm-hmm.
All the ladies die in this movie.
Every lady.
Stella Stevens just plunges into the fire.
One of my favorite parts of this movie is I'm going to go first. I want to get stuck behind her old fat ass.
Funny.
Stella Stevens.
It's cold.
Oh, so great. But, there's all sorts of twists and turns and... It's kind of spoiler, but the preacher at the very end, you think he's gonna make it, and he just
that's always heartbreaking.
He almost does.
Mm-hmm.
I love when the kid's like, I didn't mean to offend you by saying I've carried a 600 pound. She's like, that's what you're thinking about. I was like, he's a sweetheart.
Did you recognize his voice? That is Linus's brother. That's
really?
Eric Shea, and his brother is Christopher Shea, who played Linus in the Charlie Brown.
Oh, is that
Christmas.
True?
Yeah.
Because
his voice is very much like Linus, you know. They got the same tone, you know.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I had to go to the John.
Oh, that's great with the upside down toilets.
And he's walking in there and he's looking around going like, well, shit, where am I going to go? Yeah.
And how am I going to go?
Yeah.
Such a great, I don't think I can hit that.
But the one part I do laugh is I was telling my wife, like, where, you know, they have these elaborate effects where they're, you know, they obviously have some people falling from these tables and stuff and doing these incredible jumps, and then
the ship flips.
Yeah, and then at one point you can tell they have just people running past the camera and they have it tilted sideways.
One where the guy falls over backwards straight into that light.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that they played on all the trailers.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, we got to see this movie. That's insane. This guy falls, you know.
Yeah, he takes the nasty plunge.
Yeah.
How is he not dead?
Right into the.
Yeah. And it's all, you know, pre-digital. That's real stunts, real effects.
Real people.
Yeah.
I love it.
Real water. They said they constantly, you know, release the water. You know, it's just like.
That's what I told Patrick. I was like, look, they're actually underwater.
Yeah.
It's not when they're in their space little voyage and pretending that they're in space.
Exactly. Hey. Hey.
That's a shit movie, Jake.
Hey. Grace Voyage.
That's a shit
movie. You leave. Fantastic Voyage is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Show of hands. Who thinks Fantastic Voyage is a great movie?
Yeah, nobody rose their hand.
3-2.
Nobody rose their
3-2.
3-2, majority rules.
Majority rules.
There's two good reasons movie. Fantastic Voyage is
John,
great.
John, Jake, and myself.
Raquel Welch.
God.
Love it.
It was horrible.
That makes it an 8 all by
John,
itself.
What was it like watching? Did you see this in theaters?
I didn't. But like you said, they would run this once a year. It was like an event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like on the $1 million movie. Tonight on ABC, the $1 million movie. They'd run it once a year. And boy, we did not miss it. It was like, oh, this is like an event. You know? Like sitting through Gone with the Wind or something.
By the way, there is a sequel, Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, starring Michael Caine.
Telly Savalas.
Yeah.
Shirley Jones. It's an amazing cast.
Isn't Sally Field in it?
Yeah. I've never seen it.
And then they also remade it.
It's so bad. They've remade it twice.
Yeah.
But that beyond this, it's supposed to take place the next day. It's the other people that were on the ship that took the other direction, I guess.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I've never seen it, but it
remember
sounds
from,
like it's awful.
I remember from Channel 7. They're like they're like scavengers. They come to like take pieces and they go in. And I think they discover people in the ship is what happens.
I've never seen it, but boy, it just sounds awful. But you look at that cast and you go, wow, they must have really whipped out the checkbook because you got great people.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we got these disaster movies.
But they have remade it. I think they made it with Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
It was 2007?
Couple
three?
People. Whoa. You okay?
2000? Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
2007, I think, was the remake.
And then there was like a TV remake.
2006.
Yeah. And who was the main guy that died off? I'm trying to remember his name.
It's not a strict remake. I don't think there's a preacher. There's not a Gene Hackman character.
He dies in the same way as Gene Hackman, where he has to go underneath and he actually like drowns.
This is based on a book.
I felt like he could have lived, though, because he fell into where it was water and fire.
Oh, it's Wolfgang Petersen, who's actually a pretty good director.
Couldn't he have lived?
He could have.
Richard Dreyfuss, Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. He's the one who dies.
Emily Rossum. That's a good cast.
Yeah, it was an okay movie. Not as good as the original.
Kevin Dillon.
But this, there was a book. I mean, the original movie is based on a book, so it's probably a matter of going closer to the book.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Oh, we didn't even... Let me give you the...
I did read, though, that the budget was $4.7 million, and they made $93
million.
Wow. Box office.
Yeah, it's got a 79% on Rotten Tomatoes. Should be higher.
Yeah.
7.1 out of 10 on IMDb.
That should be higher. I don't know why. Because people get snotty when it's a disaster movie. They get a little snotty.
I got scared. Snooty. When they went through the little tunnel, or they had to go through the the tunnel.
Underwater?
I did not want to do that. No. When they had to crawl.
Oh, yeah.
That freaked me out a lot.
Ernest Borgnine, Shelley Winters, Gene Hackman, Stella Stevens, Carol Lindley. You got Nancy Drew in there. Sue Martin. Red Buttons. Roddy McDowell
and Leslie Nielsen,
Jack
as
Albertson,
the captain.
And Leslie Nielsen as
and you get him for all of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Arthur O'Connell is in it. I forgot. Yeah.
Remember, he's the other priest, and he's going the other direction. You know, he's going that way is life.
Yeah,
no, come with us, live. I love you, such a badass preacher.
The other priest stays in the belly of the ship. Because he's like, I can't leave these
people. But that's what Hackman says. Yeah, that way is life.
Yeah.
You come with us, you're going to live.
The great Bob Hastings is in it, cheering everyone up.
From Mikhail's name.
Yeah, he's been in everything, that guy.
I was telling Mario the other day, I love the way they set up Hackman when he does his sermon on the ship. And he goes, God hates quitters, but God loves triers. Isn't that right? So it's like, all right, this is the guy I'm going to follow.
Yeah.
Not the old gray-haired guy who's like, well, let's just stay put.
Yeah.
These people need hope. No, they need action.
There's a great behind-the-scenes clip of, I think I was telling you, John, of Ben Stiller when he was directing Cable Guy. He's up on a crane, and he's going, that way is life. He's doing all, as they're like raising him up on the crane.
Oh,
oh
God.
Man, I have to rewatch that.
I love the thing with the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
You know, where he tells the kid, I need a monkey. I need you to get to the top of that with a rope and tie it up.
And, you know, send the kid first. It's great.
And it is true what you said. You know, it's like once they're like, now we all want to climb the Christmas tree. Yeah, you schmucks. How about one at a time?
Yeah.
They it would have taken a while for the water to rise anyway. They had time.
But it's blind panic. Yeah. They were just like, no, me first. You know, it's just like, ah.
That's it. Yeah.
And then the look on his face when the whole thing just falls over and he's just all, well, that's it.
He even falls over too.
Yeah, he almost goes in.
Yeah, just close I'm the glad door you like and forget it. That happened.
All right, let's score it, baby.
So good.
I mean, I wanted to talk about the movie too.
Oh,
you
go.
Oh, you know what?
Go, Patrick.
Patrick, you've seen it before. So.
I have seen it before. No,
no I'm just kidding. Go ahead. When did you first see this?
I saw this when I was like 10.
Oh.
And it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, because you're like, okay,
yeah,
there's
totally
nothing
plausible.
In it that doesn't mean it can't happen.
Yeah.
Have you been on a boat since then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Like a cruise?
No, I've never been on a cruise ship, thankfully.
I refuse.
But yeah, this is one of my favorite...
What's the worst that could happen?
This is one of my favorite like it's disaster fine. Movies. It's so well done, and it's got a great cast. The only thing I hate is the song that the girl sings twice.
There's got to be a morning after.
I looked at Patrick, and I was like, when is she going to quit it?
That's the only part I hate about this movie.
And then she lives.
But, I mean, it's a fantastic movie. It's super well done, and it's suspenseful and scary, and I only ever want Leslie Nielsen driving my boats now.
You do?
He's the worst.
No, he was doing what he was supposed to do.
Why did he turn into the wave, though, to flip that way? Why not?
No, they were trying to hit. They were trying to hit it
dead on. He was trying to. The problem is the douchebag, the proprietor of the ship, wouldn't allow him to pull more ballast to make the ship heavier, so it wouldn't tip. That was the problem.
I love that they did give you a bit of a setup.
Yeah, like it's completely.
I'm gonna report you as soon as we get in. I'm gonna report you.
So like he was justified in everything he's doing.
Yeah.
Who's that?
I don't know. It's Shelley Winters. You know that was a hit. That song was a hit.
Fuck you.
I was so mad that she lived.
I was just pissed she sang it twice.
It's not really Carolyn Lee.
And she was like, my brother had nice hair.
Oh, I'm so
and she
creepy.
Starts crying. I'm like, shut up.
That line we love is when she's rehearsing and the guy says to Roddy McDowell, ah, this modern music, blah, blah, blah. And he's all, I kind of fancy it.
I love it. You always love her. Speaking of fancy, fancying something, I was talking to our friend from the UK, our florist friend, and I said, is there anything you'd like American audiences to know? And she said in her area, they eat a thing called pee wet.
The pee's already wet.
Pee wet.
Pee's already wet.
What country are they from?
They're from the UK. They're from England.
You know, they also eat a thing called spotted dick.
Yeah. No, pee wet.
I'm not kidding.
Pee wet is the water that you boil the peas in.
Jesus.
They eat that?
They drink it.
Gross.
They drink pee wet?
I like your face, John.
What? Listen, I do?
We don't make fun of other cultures on this show.
Look,
pee wet. You just soak. You drizzle it on stuff. I guess.
Really? Why?
I don't know. It's just something they do.
That's like boiling broccoli and drinking that.
Look, my ancestors ate haggis, so I
can't.
Yeah,
so did mine.
I can't complain. Yeah, Scott. Yeah.
Scottish and Irish.
Yeah. I know. You read that and you go, wow.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, that's what that is? And then you think about it more and you're like, oh, it's a hot dog.
It kind of looks like guac.
Are you looking at it?
Yeah. It's definitely different. It's like a... No, I don't know.
It's the water you boiled the peas in.
Let me see. I'll look it up for you.
Yeah,
it's
but
like
everything
grossing me out talking about it.
It's the juice you eat that you cook peas in.
Okay, let's.
But it looks like
how about
a
some
pea
hot dog
soup
water, huh?
Is what it looks like.
Yeah, I don't know what the difference is. What's the difference between that and pea soup?
I don't know. That's what it looks like. Pea soup.
Dehydrated.
Do they call the hot dog water wet dog or what?
All this stuff is like poverty food. Like haggis is. Haggis is poverty food. When you read what goes into haggis, it's like if you're out in the middle of nowhere, this is all you got.
Yeah,
you got
but
a cow stomach and some oats, and you're just going to sew it up and cook it, you know?
And the more you read, it sounds like
don't
a hot dog,
out,
pretty
don't
much.
Pour out the pee wall. Still drink that.
Like, we talk about that, and what's in a hot dog?
Well, listen, I've always said that. Like, gumbo. Gumbo is just all the poor countries have a pot dish that you... So Mexico has menudo, which is basically, it's gumbo.
And goulash. It's delicious.
Yeah, you have the... And it is so good for you if you have a hangover.
Yes,
whoever thought that pig tripe would be, you know.
It must absorb all the toxins or something.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, it purges the system.
Is that what it is?
Menudo is delicious, and I will not have it.
Yeah, don't you talk smack about
it. No,
menudo.
I love menudo.
But every culture has something
go to the
like that. We go,
cow
wow.
tripe. I'm sorry, I said pig tripe. It's cow tripe. Yeah. Who doesn't want to eat the lining of a cow stomach?
Yeah, it's delicious, well, especially when you get a big, chunky menudo.
With a little furry side?
Oh, yeah.
A little side with it's all fuzzy.
Hannibal Lecter.
Balot.
I ate his liver with a nice...
Did you say balot?
Yeah.
Fuck you, no.
What'd you say?
Have you had that?
Balot. It's the egg.
Have you had one of those?
It's a 100-day, or no, it's a 100-year, or century egg.
No,
yeah?
Balut.
Oh, never mind. That's like
balut is the fertilized chicken egg.
Oh, yeah. You're eating like a half-born chicken.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's right.
And it's not, I mean, it's an acquired taste.
Philippines.
I don't want to acquire it.
Do it. No, give us, Justine, real quick before we move on to The Godfather 2, give us some Filipino accent real quick.
No. I don't know. Patrick hears it all the time.
I want a smoothie.
Yeah, but do we hear it all the time?
He did say something recently. I'm like, I got to remember that so I can say it. I just forgot it, though.
Smoothie?
No, it's smoothie. I'm just saying it wrong.
Do you ever watch a video on how to make a smoothie?
Have you ever watched YouTube?
YouTube. He was talking about something on YouTube, and I was like, YouTube? And he just let it. He's like, yeah.
He ignores us.
YouTube.
That's it.
I know he says actually.
What's his favorite Christmas movie?
Love Actually.
Love Actually.
So love bad for your dad.
Love
You're
Actually.
So
guys, it's time.
Oh, did we rate it?
So
it's time to score.
Oh, yeah, let's rate the Poseidon Adventure.
We just assumed it was all 10s, right?
It's not a 10 for me.
It's not a 10.
It's not?
No.
Wow.
I give it 10. I had a fear. I had emotion.
I am afeared.
Upset.
My heart.
That's you awesome. Also say that Justine has no emotion.
Good for you, Justine. I'm glad you liked it.
It takes a disaster movie to get it.
It takes red buttons.
The only
weeping.
Thing I had with it was I didn't want that girl to live, and she did. I even told Patrick, I'm like, I hope she dies.
Wow.
Why?
Why?
And he didn't
the singer.
When the brother died, I was like, are you kidding me, Patrick? You didn't tell me she was going to live.
I didn't want to ruin it.
Oh, Carol Lindley.
Yeah, Carol Lindley. No.
Nani,
yeah.
I'm not going, Nani. If you don't go, I'm going to stay with you.
It just
you.
Makes him so heroic.
Oh, he's such a sweetheart.
My cousin's name is, we call him Nani, and it's a guy.
Okay, so.
Does he sing the morning after?
No, he does not.
So 10?
10.
I said 10. I love this movie.
Like 8.5.
John, what do you give it?
Big 10.
This is about an 8 for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sorry, John.
It's all right.
I'm a little disappointed.
Tell me about disaster movies.
I love that Justine is just handing out tens like crazy.
Well, these are good movies.
She's handing out tens like a grandma on Christmas.
These are good movies.
Well, the movies are getting better.
Yeah.
As we get closer and closer, you're going to
start $10.
Like,
you
all right.
Know what? You and haven't thrown a James Bond at me in a while.
Oh,
so
this week that's going
to
change.
Oh, yeah.
Is it three of them? I just wanted to be
what is it called?
I would love 3 James Bond movies.
I love that you watched one you didn't have to. You watched, he was going to skip Diamonds Are Forever, and you still watched it.
Yeah, that was awful.
I'm already watching them.
I feel like it's a love hate. It's like you hate.
I know.
Do you
making
secretly
me watch
love
all
it?
The Planet of the Apes, so like, I haven't seen any of the new ones except for the last one that came out.
Oh,
so
the
now
new
it's
the
like,
new ones are good.
Amazing.
Do I need to
great.
Watch these?
They're underrated.
Guys, we only have a few minutes, and we have to talk about Godfather.
That's how we're supposed to end up.
Don't worry. We got it. We got time, but
Godfather.
We want to get into this one.
All right.
Okay, so we'll
it's
shut
the Godfather Part 2, guys. Widely considered one of the greatest sequels of all time. Some people would say superior to the original. We'll talk about whether or not we all agree after this message. Just kidding.
Talk about how wrong they are.
John, let's start with you. Godfather 2.
Yeah.
Go.
It's amazing.
What do you think?
It's amazing.
No. You know, it's funny. I've seen it a million times, like the first one. And it's true. It is better than the first one. As good as the first one is. It's just massive because of all the back and forth doing the stuff with De Niro as young Vito.
Oh, freaking De Niro.
I mean, that's a movie in itself. And then you can't believe the direction it goes bringing Michael into the 50s with the Las Vegas deals and all that stuff. It's just you get all those characters are back and it's just a really intriguing story.
And then the last 2 minutes.
97% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
9 out of 10. On IMDb. Should be higher.
It's every bit as good as the first. You
what
know?
Was that first ratings for the first one?
Let me find out for you.
You know, it's funny because when this came out, so this was like 74, I guess. He had done a movie between Godfathers.
The Conversation?
The Conversation with Gene Hackman.
He's in everything.
He's in everything, yeah.
On Rotten Tomatoes, I don't have a Rotten Tomatoes score here, but it did get 100% on a 9.2 on IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes, Godfather... We're Googling that.
All I can think about with...
Keep going, John.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I just love the way it goes back and forth. You know, a lot of times that doesn't work, and it was just...
It's very seamless. Like, it works
perfect.
Really
98
well.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
It's just perfect. The editing is just perfect. The way when they decide to go back and show you the young Vito. And who better to play him than Robert De Niro?
Mm-hmm.
He's so great. I mean, just subtle things like with the body language, the thing with the finger on the side of his cheek, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing young Tessio and Clemenza. That's hilarious. Bruno Kirby. I forgot Bruno Kirby is the young
And
Clemenza.
Originally, I read in the Frank Pantaglia role was originally supposed to be Clemenza, but they couldn't get a contract done in time. So we saw Clemenza in the original. He's the one that gives Mikey the gun to go in and kill Captain McCluskey.
I was wondering what happened to him. How come he's not in the second one?
I think they mentioned that he died, I think, or they mentioned that he moved on or may have passed away. Yeah. But I guess they couldn't come to an agreement on a contract.
To get the actor.
To get the actor. Yeah. So that role, they created the character of Frank Pantaglia.
And boy, he's perfect.
He was great.
A great character and the perfect actor to play.
Yes.
You know, I love
Frankie.
Him. Yeah. Just all of that was just amazing. All the stuff with the young Vito and seeing young Clemenza and young Tessio, that was just fascinating,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then what he's prepared to do, you know, when he says, I don't get it. He's got guns. We got guns. It's just like, why do we have to listen to him?
Three of us?
Exactly. And I love how he finally just, you know, that whole thing where he follows him on the rooftops.
Mm-hmm. That was a cool scene.
And then you know, he's got the gun wrapped up in the towel.
It catches on fire when he shoots it.
Unbelievable.
He's like, what is that? What do you have in your
What do you have
hand?
There? Yeah.
Bam!
Yeah.
That's just fascinating.
Have you now? There's an edit, and if you haven't seen it, I would recommend it. Where it was called The Godfather Saga,
right?
And they run it on cable. They run it on HBO every once in a while, and it's chronological order.
Yeah. So no flashbacks.
So
it starts at the beginning.
It starts at the beginning with his dad's funeral or with his brother's funeral, and then goes on to.
So how does it play?
It's great, and there's extra scenes that were only
really.
There are scenes that were, you know, when they run it on network TV, there were scenes.
It's like 9 hours.
It's
though,
like no, it's like it's like 4 hours.
You know what?
Like
I'm gonna try to get my hands on that.
It's they actually you could buy it on video back in the 80s.
Yeah,
but they haven't done it on DVD. I don't think it's called the Godfather Epic. I think is what it's called.
Well, I remember because they did that for TV. It was when they were doing Roots and all these miniseries, and so I think that was like a big event. And I think I told you, I read somewhere that he was editing that when he was in the Philippines doing Apocalypse Now.
Oh, okay.
He had a moviola, and he was trying to put that together so that they could put it on TV. So I'm going to try to find that. If it's got extra scenes, I want to see
there's
that.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And you get to see more of like Clemenza and stuff when they're younger, and Tessio and
so
all
you get
those.
More of the old stuff.
Yeah, more of the old stuff.
But then when he goes back, and he puts the knife in him.
Oh, when they hand him the olive oil.
Come closer. What's your name? He's just all zap.
And then that's the guy that takes the guy that gets shot in the leg.
Yeah.
That's the guy that takes care of Mikey when Michael has to run away after he kills Captain McCluskey. That's the one he's staying with. It's Don Tomasino.
I didn't realize.
Yeah. That's
fascinating.
So you see why he walks with a cane.
And then all the stuff in Cuba. With Lee Strasberg playing Hyman Roth. That was fascinating, too. Just this little guy living in the suburbs, but he's the mastermind.
It's supposed to be...
who is that supposed to be?
Meyer Lansky.
There you go. Yeah.
I didn't say a thing.
Yeah.
They killed Mo Green.
Yeah.
And I let it go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That whole thing.
That whole thing at the end where he's all, I'm just a businessman. And the reason I came back is because they wouldn't let me vote by absentee ballots.
That was great.
That was
and the guy just all, take this, bang.
Yeah.
That whole thing where he goes, it's impossible. You know, if history has told us anything, Tom, is that anybody can be killed. And then the other guy goes, difficult, not impossible.
Yeah.
And then he gets killed. Shooting Hyman Roth, he gets killed, you know.
What great.
Yeah. But it's almost the finale is almost like an echo of the first one because you got the guy in the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tom Hagen has planted that seed. You know, in the old days, what the Romans would do is, you know.
No, he's basically like, if you kill yourself,
we'll take care of your family. So here's the guy. They're never going to be able to get into that base and kill him. And that was brilliant. Just brilliant. And so it's almost like, like an echo of the finale of the first Godfather. Fredo gets it out on the boat. You know?
Fucking Jesus. Felt like I was watching Of Mice and Men.
Had you guys ever,
going,
who had never seen
Lenny,
this
look
before?
At the rabbit.
So you had never seen any of this? You guys had never seen it?
No.
Fredo. Hey, how'd you know about this place? Johnny Ola told me about it.
Oh, he's, and he's like, just, oh my God.
You don't see too many displays of emotion, and he's behind me, just goes, ugh. It was you, Fredo.
Such an idiot.
My wife was asking, do you think he knew when they sit down and they order the banana daiquiri? She's like, do you think he knows then? I said, I don't know if he knows for sure, but he suspects.
Right. He doesn't want to do anything until he knows.
He's very suspicious throughout the whole thing.
That's a hell of a scene where he goes, why didn't we do this more often? You know, Fredo's all, why didn't we do more hanging out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I forgot about, because I hadn't seen it in a couple of years, I forgot about that postscript where he remembers that that birthday dinner, and they're all sitting around the table, and he had just joined the Marines.
Yeah,
yeah. And Pearl Harbor sitting was there by himself.
It was like the day after Pearl Harbor, so that's like 41. You know, because the first Godfather starts around 46, 47. Yeah. So this would have put it at 41, and to see them all sitting around the table, sort of talking, all the personalities coming out, they're all there. You know, and. You know, the dad is in the other room. You know, you never see him.
That's what everybody forgets about Michael, is that everybody kind of underestimates him, but he's survived World War II.
Yeah.
And so he's, you know, he knows how to do this kind of stuff. Yeah. He doesn't know the ins and outs quite like everybody else, but, you know, he has that.
Also, he's seen how his family, he does know the business. He didn't want to be a part of it, but he does know how things
work. He knows how things work, yeah.
So, Jake, having never seen it, what did you think?
I thought it was great. I feel like I liked the first one a little bit more. They do run some parallels though, or at least tone wise.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was great. There's so many little intricacies that I'm sure watching it several times you'll pick up on little things you wouldn't catch before. But Michael is such an interesting character, and I loved seeing the flashbacks of Vito and seeing how he came to start the family. You know,
yeah,
super interesting.
Yeah. He comes from nothing.
Mm-hmm. Literally comes from nothing and has this giant, you know, empire. Crazy.
He's a 9-year-old alone in New York.
How could you start with any less? You have no parents. You're in a foreign country.
You don't speak English. You have smallpox.
You're a child.
Yeah, right?
Fuck.
It's 7.5 hours. Sorry. You were right.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus.
I wasn't gonna correct you twice.
The Godfather epic. Oh,
yeah, because it's all of them. It's not just because the
plus extra scenes.
Yeah, it's in the original. First 2 or 3 hours each.
They don't. When you this thing you're talking about does not have anything from the third.
No,
it's just this because it was on TV in the '70s, I think, or the '80s.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't bother with the third. Most people don't bother with the third one, really.
It's great.
Nobody I know bothers with the third.
We're gonna watch the third one. How about that?
You don't get any Tom Hagen. no Robert Duvall.
So, Jake, what makes you like the first one a little bit better?
I don't know. I think it was a little bit more, what's the word, in your face with a lot of the stuff. Or I feel like trying to find a way to describe it. There's a lot of times where they'll just kill someone. They'll kill someone off, and then they're just like, all right, let's go get a pizza. Or hey, I'm tired. Let me get a cannoli. I don't know. It seemed more ruthless.
Okay.
Michael really
runs it a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Michael's a little bit more.
He seems like the first one, he's flying by the seat of his pants a lot more.
Yeah.
By the second one, he's getting pretty cold-blooded.
He's planning. Like, that's what I loved about this movie is the fact that he is planning throughout this. Like, he's laying things on top of each other, and he's working through different, you know, motives and ideas. And even when he's getting screwed over, he's still working through it and being like, okay, this is what we're going to do. He has a solution. It works.
His eyes.
Oh,
God. He starts looking really dead behind the eyes by the end of the movie.
What about when Kay comes and drops her bomb?
Oh, wow.
The best scene is when she's leaving the house. He walks in the room and just shuts the door.
Just like in the first one.
Fuck yes.
That's a hell of a thing.
It was cold.
Justine, you're awfully quiet over there.
I like the first one better.
Did you?
Yeah, you got to know the characters a lot better in the first one, and you get to see him turn, so it's kind of cool.
That's the big drama there, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool to see that. And
this one's
the
less
characters
focused
in
on
the
family.
First ones are, characters in the first ones are just, you feel for them, and then they get shot, and then the guy who's part of the family, but he turned on them, and he gets shot, and it's just, that one's crazy, but.
How'd you like the young Vito stuff?
Oh, and this one?
De Niro playing the young Vito.
De Niro did a great job with his voice, too.
Mm-hmm.
And what was great is he's doing the role in Italian. Mostly Italian.
Unbelievable.
So you're watching him. He's so magnetic. You're watching him, and you're interested in everything he's doing. And then he's doing it all in Italian.
Yeah.
Hey, What does he say to the guy? What does he say when she wants to kick the lady out?
Oh yeah.
And he, what does he tell? He's like, hey, I forgot what he says.
I love the way he paints the picture. He says, ask around. You know, they'll tell you. I'm a person that can keep remembers a favor.
He comes back. He's like, wait, what? Oh, I'm so sorry. Here's all the money back. I'll lower the rent. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's good. It's good. I promise. I'll take care of it.
And he gets a little more. He's like, oh, I'm gonna lower the rent $5 or whatever.
Because he just sits there. He just sits there.
Vito, he knows he's got him, so he's just like, I'll wait.
Oh, did I say 5? I meant 10.
Yeah.
I'll lower it 10.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah, this one's more of a focus on Michael.
Mm-hmm.
At least in modern day, where I suppose the last one is more focused on the family as a whole.
Yeah.
It's a little tighter because the first one's tighter.
Yeah.
You probably feel a little bit more. This one's so spread out.
Yeah.
Because you're in Cuba.
Boy, the Cuba stuff is fascinating.
Yeah.
It's like a history lesson. I didn't know any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? And he's watching and he says, this guy blew himself up. That means they could win. They're in this for the long haul.
It's a great moment too, because you realize he's really smart. He realizes what's happening and he realizes it's not a smart idea to invest in this. I know what's gonna happen. I can see it with my own eyes that this is gonna change drastically in a short amount of time. This country is going to be completely different.
Exactly. Yeah. And I love the way he put it. I saw something interesting today.
Yeah.
The cops are trying to break this up, and this guy blew himself up.
Well, when the guy doesn't kill Hyman, you're like, oh, shit, does he know? Like, that fucking sucks.
Yeah. That guy gets caught.
I was like, come on.
Hyman rot.
So, I'm going to take a nap. When I come back, if the $2 million's there, I'll know I have a partner. And if it's not, I'll know I don't.
Lee Strasberg, for those of you who don't know, is like a legendary acting teacher. He had an acting school in New York. But I love...
Yeah, you don't see him in too many movies.
No.
But he was like a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, is it the actor's studio?
Yeah. I love watching football in the afternoons. It's one of the things I love about this country. And then his wife comes in, she's like this typical WASP. Would you like a tuna fish sandwich?
You're like, who is... deaf with it that way.
And her outfit and everything.
Yeah.
I don't get why she was dressed like
well,
that.
Well, it's 53.
But the 52. Other girls weren't dressed like that.
But she's an older lady.
Oh, okay.
It has to do with where they're at. It's the suburbs.
Like Florida.
Kay looks pretty cool in her outfits, but
she's much younger and fashionable.
Yeah,
this is like supposed to be like a suburb, and she's just, you know.
What about all the scenes? Oh, what about when they get the freaking senator? How about the way they set that guy up? How about when they set that guy up?
Oh my
He's
God.
Like, don't worry, we take care of our friends. And I'm like, fuck, dude, you're screwed,
Tom
man.
Tom Hagen.
I would like, before I leave, I'd like you to know that the Italian Americans are hardworking people.
So
I love how it's like, boy, he's really laying this on thick, isn't he?
And I love how he's just looking down like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a hell of a thing. It's like, we've got him.
Yep. Oh, man.
So good.
Yeah. Out in like Pahrump or something.
I love when he brings his brother and he's like, no, I never said that. No, I just agreed with you guys.
That was so cold, too.
Oh, yeah. They bring the brother.
Doesn't speak a lick of English.
Jesus.
That's the only reason they brought him.
He's sitting out there in the island. We just need you to come and sit. That's all he does. Just sits.
Yeah.
God. See, that's what I think that's for me. I love them both.
Yeah.
For me, the part two has the edge just because you see it all together. You see the workings, how Michael has taken over and what he's done. And, you know, how he's kind of legitimized in a lot of ways and how he's.
And that's the idea. He wants them to go legit. Like the whole thing of getting into Vegas is to sort of get to where it's more above board at some point.
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to this. The book, The Godfather, is that both the first two movies?
It's
how much of the second movie is in the book?
I think it's a lot of what's explained, but not exactly in like flashback like that.
Like the young Vito stuff?
Yeah. I think most of one and two is the Godfather.
So all the stuff in Cuba and Vegas, is that in...
I've never read the book. I don't know.
Because Mario Puzo gets a screenwriting credit.
Yeah, they had to write some of the stuff. I think some of the stuff beyond, I think maybe the Cuba stuff and some of the...
I mean, he's a co-screenwriter on all three of them.
Well, they had to come up with certain characters, like the Frank Pantaglia character and all that. All that had to be written because they couldn't go with what was originally.
I just wondered if there's stuff that didn't make it into the first movie because they didn't have a lot of time.
Let's read the book. Who wants to volunteer to read the book?
No. Well, it really bothered me that he already knew his family was going to fall apart and he didn't change. That really bothered me.
Oh, Michael?
Yeah.
You know when he asks his mom that? Yeah, I forgot about that scene. He says,
he already knows his family's coming apart.
Can you lose your family?
Yeah.
By trying to protect it, can you lose your family? And she says, you can never lose your family.
He's like, not that family.
And he goes, times have changed.
Yeah.
That line, he just says, times have changed. Because he knows he's going to lose Fredo. And
the scene with Fredo is just, I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. When he says, you're nothing to me now. I don't need you for anything. You're not my friend. You're not my brother. I don't want to see you. If you go see mom.
And then, so he kisses him in Cuba, and that's heartbreaking. You know, Fredo's going to die in this movie. There's no way he can survive. Then he disowns him, doesn't talk to him anymore. Then after that, at the funeral, he takes him back. But at that point, you still know.
Did you see the look he gave that guy?
Yes.
Well, Fredo's hugging him, and over his shoulder, he's looking at the guy.
And Michael's basically saying, you're still going to kill him.
Yeah.
Because to top it all off, he gets him in the boat, and like Lenny from Mice and Men, shoots him in the back of the head while he's looking for rabbits.
Mm-hmm. While he's looking for fish.
Swimming Hail Mary. Rabbits.
Saying it's Hail Mary. Grace.
Bam!
So, John, I'm reading.
Swimming with the fishes.
Real quick, most of what the differences are with the peripheral characters. Johnny Fontaine has a bigger role.
In the book?
In the book. Oh. Like some of the smaller characters are fleshed out.
Okay.
And they decided to just focus mostly on the Corleone family for the movie. So that was it. But were we done with Justine? I'm sorry, Justine. Did we cut you short?
I'm short.
Okay.
Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum.
No.
Patrick, what did you think, Dan?
So I enjoyed this one a lot. Like, I loved all the planning.
Everybody wave at that guy.
I loved all the planning. I loved all the intricacies of Michael thinking things out and how things were working out. And just, like, the subtle lines he gave throughout the movie, like, you know, keep your friends close but your enemies closer and stuff like that. Like, he was really hinting at that, like, he's not going to change. He's going to kill. If you screw him over, you will be dead by the end of this movie. Yes. And it happened in the last 2 minutes. The three people who hosed him the worst were dead.
The line that kept coming back to me about that ending is when Tom says, do you feel like you have to wipe everybody out? I don't feel like I have to wipe everybody out, just my enemies.
Exactly. So it's just like you get these moments in the movie where you're watching his facial expression, and he does a fantastic job because it's really, he doesn't talk a lot in this movie. It's a slow burn. It's a lot of what's in his face, and like you can see it from the beginning of the movie. And it's just really well done. Like I really enjoy this one, and the stuff with De Niro was fantastic. That was a really cool, like, I don't usually like flashbacks, but it was well done. It was worked into the movie. They didn't feel like it was out of place. It tied in with Michael's story really well to compare at times what he's going through. And then there's just a lot of great small moments. Like I said, him slamming the door in Kay's face is amazing. That scene was amazing because even at that moment you can tell she's like, will you take me back? Like, that was what she was looking like.
Well, she freezes.
Yeah,
she's trying to get the little boy to give her a kiss goodbye, and boy, when he walks in the door, she just freezes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he looked really good with that little coat and that scarf though. He walked in, I was like, wow, he actually looks good. And then,
but he's a cold-blooded bastard.
But just the Cuba stuff, like the Cuba stuff to me was fantastic because it's just like you see him realizing all of these things that nobody else is noticing.
Nobody sees it.
Nobody sees it except for him. And then it's just at the party, he goes to Fredo, says, we're getting on a plane in an hour. I know what you did, but you're still coming home with me, like your family. Because at that point, you kind of figure Michael's trying to keep him around.
Right.
And then you realize, no, he's just going to kill him eventually.
He wants to be the one that does it.
Oh, God, that kiss was just like, oh, you're fucked, dude. You are so screwed.
And then he's all, you know, nobody touches him till mom passes away.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, Jesus. It's just like, he's got that much empathy. I don't want her to be.
But I feel like he's losing so many family members. Why kill another one? I mean.
Because he betrayed him.
Can't let him live.
He doesn't have to kill everybody, just his enemies.
It's just him, his sister, and the guy he's calling his brother, right? That's it. Everyone else got killed off. So, I mean, I feel like you should have more family. I don't know.
He's it's the evolution or devolution.
His sister, his sister looked good in this movie. She was dressed like.
Would you talk Talia Shire?
I feel like he's just
talking about Adrian from the Rocky movies.
Adrian.
I don't know. I feel like
talking about Jason Schwartzman's mom. Is that who you're talking about?
I feel like he's taking down his own family.
Well, he is.
That is. Horrible. He is.
Well, then maybe the next movie it's just gone. He loses it all. I don't know. Well, that's what it looks like. It's going.
As I recall, the third one. How do they explain that Tom's not around? What's the line?
I think
they
he
throw
died.
No, no. It's not like he's dead.
No, he's dead.
He's dead. The third one. No, he's dead.
Really? Because the whole thing was that they couldn't. Robert Duvall said they wouldn't pay him enough. They gave Al Pacino this amazing amount of money. He's all, well, I'm worth something. He had done like Tender Mercies.
Yeah.
And
he's an Oscar winner.
Lonesome Dove.
He's great in this movie. Like.
And I think he said, look, I thought they should pay me a little more to come back. They were giving Pacino this amazing lump of money. He says, we just couldn't do it.
He's the great Santini, for God's sake.
Yeah, exactly. He was coming on the heels of that. And so that's why they didn't have Tom Hagen in the third one. They just said, well, they weren't prepared to pay me what I'm worth, for Christ's sake, you know? You that's go. Too bad, because that's the last brother that's still alive.
Yeah, he's not in the third.
You know?
Yeah. But you do get Andy Garcia, though.
And he's playing Sonny's kid?
Yeah.
And I didn't buy that was Sonny's kid. I'm not a big Andy Garcia fan as far as acting goes, so I didn't buy that.
He's a little bit of a mumbler.
I don't know. I just did not. I guess I should watch it and see if it holds up any better. But
it doesn't.
When it came out, it was pretty crappy.
You get Eli Wallach in it, though.
You do get Eli Wallach, and
he's in it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited.
And Pacino's good. Oh, yes. I do remember leaving and going, well, all this stuff with Michael is fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Every and time Diane I think Keaton's I'm out, back. They pull me back.
That's
in.
Right. That's the big line, yeah.
Should we rate this one? Is this even worth rating?
Is it worth rating?
I'm gonna say it's a 10. This is a 10 for me.
Yeah.
10, 10, 10. 10s all around? Okay, good.
Hold on.
John?
Yes, absolutely a 10.
Thank you. Okay. Jake?
9.5.
Me too. Ditto.
I love, you're doing the
Just
Uncle
because
Bill.
I like Godfather, the first Godfather more.
He's doing Brian Keith.
Okay.
He's
so I have to knock it
so
down.
So I gave the first Godfather a 9.5, and this is the reason I gave it a 9.5, because 2 is better. I give this a 10.
There you go.
All right. That's why Patrick this, comes back next
9.5
week.
9.5 was well worth it. Like, that was a fantastic movie.
John comes
this
back.
This is better.
And this was the first movie where they said, oh, the sequel's better than the original.
Oh,
you know?
So good.
This is the Empire Strikes Back of mafia movies.
You know it's a good sequel when it makes you want to watch the first one again.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And that's what I did.
That's a good indicator.
When it was over, I grabbed the first one. I thought, I got to pop it in and watch it again.
That's
you know?
A good indicator for a sequel for a movie. It's like, yeah, you get all of these moments from the first movie that you're like, I want to see that again. Yeah. I want to see Michael grow and develop into this so I can, you know, better understand this.
Yeah
just like it's... Fast 8 wanted me to watch, made me want to watch Fast 7.
That's a terrible analogy.
Oh, you had us, and then you just
I've never
kicked
even
us
seen
out of the car.
Seven.
Return of the King just wants you to go back to.
She said a 9.5.
Go back to Fellowship,
huh?
And
she said 9.5.
All through it again.
9.5, Justine, you're on a roll.
I give it a 9.
Let me get this straight. You like Poseidon Adventure better than Godfather 2.
Fuck.
I would say when the ratings are that close, you
I know, but
it's
still,
like you
liked it slightly better. That's
I
weird.
Had more emotions on.
You know, watching movies is a very personal thing. It's not always going to...
John, don't stick up for me.
Not always going to grab
yeah.
you where it grabs
okay,
everybody.
We're not all going to have the same
Look,
opinion.
It sickens
she,
me.
I want to tell you.
This gave, is our thing. We drag them through the mud, John. We drag them
the
through the mud.
The fact that she gave Paper
opinions.
Moon a 10 means I'm going to be very forgiving of Justine in the coming
season. No, no, no. Well, hold on. She did give Paper Moon a 10, so...
That's going to be my answer from
and
here
you know,
on
I
out.
I love the choice that they... I was reading that, how... That other director helped him out and had told him to do it in black and white instead. I'm like, yes, that made all the difference watching that movie.
No, we're talking about Godfather
right now.
Oh, sorry.
It was a great movie, though.
Godfather 2 is... All the flashback in sepia tone is amazing.
Not only that, but whoever's doing the production design... It's supposed to be New York at the turn of the century. My
it
God.
Feels like New York at the turn
Holy
of the century.
Shit, that does
you see
not
straw
look...
on the street and you're just like, there's chickens on the road. This makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's a textbook yeah. of how you should do a period mm-hmm. scene. You know what I mean? My God.
It's well done.
I mean, there's no flaws with that whole, like, the whole parade. What is it? The festival?
Yeah.
Of,
yeah.
You just go, my God, every last scrap looks like it's the yeah. real deal, you know?
And that's the thing. When you see a movie, a period piece done well, again, we'll talk about Paper Moon. I've mentioned it before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You shoot it in black and white. The cars, everything, those little towns, everything, every place they go,
looks
the
perfect.
Tiniest details, those really crappy hotel rooms they're in.
Nothing
the
takes
radios.
You out of it.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's not like The Sting where once in a while you go, that's obviously Universal Studios backlot.
Yeah.
Know?
But with the Godfather, though, their extras for having that many people
Amazing.
Are pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching because I tend to look at the extras to see if any of them are just staring at the camera. But nope. No, they were on it.
That whole scene in Lake Tahoe. That whole party scene.
Yeah, every scene when they do that. Even the wedding they had on the first movie. Like, they're just on it.
I love that. And they're playing Pop Goes the Weasel.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. There's not one Italian musician in this entire
movie. Love it.
Yeah, this was better than the first.
I loved it.
I am going to seriously try to find that Godfather saga.
It usually pops up on HBO every once in a while.
If next time it comes on, I'll try to DVR it and come over for 7 hours and we'll just... it's amazing.
Hang out in your shorts. And
you know what it's like? It's like watching... they put like an extra half hour on Apocalypse Now. I remember people say, because I love that movie too, and people say, God, really? You're now going to watch a 3-hour movie turn into a 4-hour movie? You're going to watch 4 hours of Apocalypse Now?
I love it.
It's like Jake and Lord of the Rings.
That's what people say with Lord of the Rings.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, it's a 3-hour movie. Oh my God, you're watching the extended edition. But if you love it, it's worth it.
If you love it, you want more. You're going,
I get to watch the
rest?
Extra 2 minutes of Gimli asking, what's her face for her lock of hair?
Yeah.
Great.
Oh,
that's
great. Gimli. Good scene.
And my ox.
What's an ox?
Why do you need an ox? I thought we're gonna fight.
Somebody's gotta pull the curtain.
All right. Guys, this is a great episode. Mm-hmm. If you like movies.
Yeah, I mean, we had one shit movie this week.
If you like movies, you're gonna love our next segment.
Westworld.
2 weeks from now, we've got
man
coming
with
up.
Golden gun, man with golden gun.
Wait.
Man with golden gun.
Man with the golden gun.
We celebrate John Sandy month here with Jeez. Monty Python.
Oh, really?
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
It's on Netflix right now, so watch it. It's on Netflix if you have.
I'm so excited. I love that movie.
And I actually just watched it like last week.
No, you are not.
You know all the lines.
I know.
You are not allowed.
There
will be no quoting.
What?
With this movie, there's just no way.
No,
it's
quoting is not allowed. Nope.
I have to do the duck scene.
It's impossible.
No quoting.
I have to do the duck scene.
A duck.
No.
She turned me into a newt.
No quoting.
Well, I got better.
I got better.
You know what ruins Monty Python?
Is that everybody does it.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know
fans.
That the guys, they said when you run into a fan and they just want to do the whole routine, you're
like,
I know,
knight
I wrote
say.
It. I mean, I've heard that words to that effect. They go, yeah, I did it. I know that. They say it's so weird. You walk into a place and they want to do the scene. It's like, yeah, I know. I
was there.
Or it catches you off guard and you're like, oh, yeah, that's from... The Star Trek guys say the same thing. And that's even weirder because somebody comes in and they're playing a whole scene and they go, you know, that was 1 hour 40 years ago. Out of my life, I did that once. It was 40 years ago. I'm not watching it every night. So when you say a tribble line, it's just like, what? it's not like I'm waking up in the morning.
Yeah, it's like
thinking,
when our fans quote our show back to us. I'm like,
I don't really know the movie.
I'm
so.
Just kidding. What? Ooh. You're going to love it.
Have you watched any Monty Python?
What?
Have you watched any Monty Python movies?
Patrick's tried to put it on, and it's like I saw like one of them had it where they're at a restaurant.
Oh yeah,
I was watching the show,
but I didn't.
Flying Circus is good too.
I was watching Flying Circus,
and I've seen it where they have the shells, and then
that's
they do
Monty
like,
Python and the Holy Grail.
But that's the only scene I know from the movie.
You are gonna love it.
It's so
fantastic.
Funny.
I guarantee you'll hate it. All right,
I know she's gonna
probably.
But you know
hate
what?
It.
Because I watched it when I was little, that part, and I only remember that part. I confuse it with Men in Tights a lot.
It's the same movie.
Okay, so what's the second movie?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This one's for Jake.
Monty Python, Life of Brian.
Oh, we should just do all the Python. Python movies.
Yeah, this is for Jake. Yeah.
Which one?
Man with a Golden Gun.
Yes! It's not for Jake. It's for me,
that's
you rat
for
bastard.
Patrick.
Nope. And the last one
is for me.
One of the greatest movies of all time.
Is that for me?
You're welcome.
Jaws.
Yes.
This is going to be a great
it's
fucking
a good
week.
Show.
Yes.
Wow. I guarantee.
Patrick's going to give all 10s.
10s across the board. I'm telling you right now.
Has anyone not seen Jaws?
I've seen it. It's great.
Seen it.
Justine has not seen it.
I've seen it. I don't know it that well.
I love it.
I've seen most of these movies.
These are very
please do
boyish movies.
Well, you're right.
Yes,
you're right.
Jaws,
yes.
Man
you're right.
Of the Golden
no, but you will love when you sit down and watch Jaws. You will love it.
It's a great movie.
Don't watch it on a phone. Please don't watch Jaws on a phone. Okay,
I'm gonna watch it on a phone with headphones.
Well, you've seen
John.
It. You've
with
seen
watch
it.
No,
talking about
with
Justine.
Headphones.
Just watch it the other night.
Yeah, I know. You can now say watch it on a watch. Yeah.
Watch it.
Oh shoot. Okay.
Did we run
out of time? No, we're almost there. But
10s out of 10s next week. I'm telling you.
Well, you know, there's one. There's one in there that who knows how people are going to respond to the Man with the Golden Gun.
I know
how you're going to respond.
Yeah. You already know how I'm going to respond.
Well, when's the last time you saw it?
Oh,
I think I've seen this.
You have seen it. I made you watch
it. Oh wow, yeah.
Third
this is
nipple.
The one with the plane. the plane.
Well, it's that guy.
It's him, yeah.
He doesn't say it in this movie, but he is that guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a different. Oh.
No, it's the actor.
It's the actor.
Fantasy Island, yeah. The plane.
You watched this documentary.
This one, he says the nipple, the nipple was really good.
You did watch.
The nipple.
The superficial.
Yeah, this
nipple.
Is when they're going through like a mirror maze, right? Yeah. Yeah. I've seen this movie.
He's in a fun house. It's a James Bond at the current.
He's
got
a flying gremlin. Like, what's fucking not to like?
He's just not believable as a James Bond.
He's the best James Bond.
He seems just...
Most people agree that he's the worst James Bond.
Yeah.
Everybody, I agree.
Everybody can fuck off.
Sean Connery is the best James Bond.
No.
Really? You like Roger Moore better?
I love Roger Moore.
You're not just
Moore.
Saying that to the contrary?
No, I love Roger Moore.
Well, I guess because
does Roger Moore say bushy?
No, but no, he's not abusive to women. He's a gentleman.
That's fine.
And he uses a third nipple when necessary.
If I was on a plane going down and I saw Roger Moore, I wouldn't expect him to save my life. I'd be like,
Sean Connery.
Just whatever.
Yeah, but when he did it, he'd be dapper as fuck.
He'd be too busy raising his right
eyebrow.
Wait,
he's the movie where the train goes in and out of the tunnel, right?
No, that's North by Northwest.
That's North by Northwest. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay, that's not
what I'm that's Cary Grant.
Family Guy.
Never mind. I always think that that's a
he look, I know,
James
that,
Bond movie.
That behaves like a James Bond movie, yeah.
All right, guys, so next time we'll see you in 2 weeks for the Digital Movie Club, and next week we'll be back with another installment of What Have You Done? What is that? What is it?
Is
yeah,
that
it's What Have You Done?
Yeah, something like that.
But next week, it's going to be fantastic. So join us next week for Jake, for Patrick, for Justine, for John, for myself. We will say this transmission ends now. And please fight the power.
Half a pound of tuppenny rice, half a pound of treacle. That's the way the money goes. Pop goes the weasel.